Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 78th episode of the Dapper Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan, and with me this week, Tentacle Touchy, not Joe. How are you, Tentacle?
I'm doing pretty well, and it's good to be back on the Dapper Gaming Podcast in a new year. I mean, 2015, so much to look forward to, like Watch Dogs 2 and Assassin's Creed, another entry edition.
Yeah, I'm super stoked for this year. Actually, this is our first podcast back this year, and we are going into our third year of podcasts.
We've changed so much since then.
I don't think we've changed that much.
Many hairstyles, however, for you. You've alternated quite a bit.
Maybe. I feel like there's been like three hairstyles. The one where I don't cut my hair and it's just long. The one where I'm too lazy to go get my hair cut properly, so I just shave it all off myself. And then this one, when I have to look okay and decent.
Progressive development of our host here.
The only other like major change was I've decided to grow up my beard twice now. So,
are we going to see a full lumberjack by the end of 2015?
If I can get away with it, that would be great. But still with a handlebar mustache,
That'd be brilliant.
I can't get rid of the mustache. But, yeah, I mean, I haven't changed too much over the 2 years of podcasts, not physically at least. I don't know, lost a bit of weight, put it back on. So, you're back to doing the YouTubes, finally.
Yes, after an emotional downturn, at least. I guess, I hate that when people say, oh, it's a new year, a new me. It's a fresh start, but technically it kind of has been for me. So I've like decided just to cut out all the negatives in my life. And by that, I mean I'm going to ignore a vast majority of things and just pretend it doesn't exist until I'm a bit better.
That is what I do every day for years. Like since I started university, just ignore everything I don't want to deal with.
Yes, it's childish to put your fingers in your ears and go, la, 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 I can't hear you. But
it's super healthy. It's how adults deal with things, okay?
Until they get a kid, and then the kid starts asking those really weird questions, and they're like, I can't ignore it now.
Yeah, that's... I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Parenthood awaits. The Dapper Child Gaming Podcast.
I don't know.
But yes, how has 2015 started off for you, man?
I launched my game on Friday on Android. We soft launched. I found out there was a bug in some third-party code that I used, and now I'm trying to fix it right now as fast as I can. If the phone doesn't have a network connection, like it can't get anything off the internet, then it can't pull an ad, and it hard crashes the game.
Dang, but what is this wonderful game you're talking about so our listeners can go and download it?
I released Major Space Laser on Friday. If you search Major Space Laser, it's like the 10th thing that comes up, which is fantastic. But every day it gets higher in that search list. So
yeah, subtle shilling here from me.
Yeah,
because it convinced you to plug it on your own podcast.
Well, we're waiting on, we're in the Apple review process for iOS, and so, like, I'm not trying to push it too hard or promote it yet until we get released on iOS as well. That way, if, like, I get someone, like, all of my wonderful friends who have YouTube channels that are slightly popular, if they, like, push the game, then that way, like, the person who has an iPhone, which is a huge market in North America, not as huge in Europe and the rest of the world, then when they go to the App Store, like, it's there when they search it up, whereas right now it wouldn't be because it's not out. So I'm just waiting until we get both versions out, and then I'm going to
go hard.
Yes. Yeah. Well, like, for example, the Oral Knots did all of the sound for the game. Do you know the Bane rap?
I've heard of it, yes.
Yeah, they made that.
Okay.
And it's got like 10 million views on YouTube. And they did the Arnold Schwarzenegger kill count video last year, which.
Oh yes, I've definitely seen that one.
Yeah, they did that, and they do a lot of stuff like that, and they did all the sound for the game. In fact, they made two original songs for the game, and they're selling that on Bandcamp. Like, it's really good. Like, the production quality of the game is better than what I made. Like, it's better than my game mechanics. So. If there's any reason to play the game, it's because it's got really kick-ass art and music, and reasonable mechanics. Yeah, I'm really pitching you on it, right? Like,
Yeah,
I sound really excited about my own game.
the enthusiasm is just screeching through the microphone right
It's
now.
because I can't get too loud, or else it gets too goddamn echoey in this fucking echo chamber I live in now, and then it
Is it
ruins the podcast. So now I have to talk quietly. All the
sounds like
time.
an sounds like an indie puzzle game that's the Echo Chamber.
Yeah, I'm. Man, I should make a video game called that. But yeah, I mean, we're starting work on our next app already because I don't really have a lot else to. Like, I finished the programming on the next app anyways, in December before we got it out on Android, before we got Major Space Laser out on Android, just because I was like waiting for sounds and the last of the art and. Then we got it out. Now I have to go bug fix. But while I'm bug fixing, the artist is doing like the art for the next game because we pretty much finished the programming. So,
Well, you're keeping yourself productive and moving forward to 2015 with potentially more apps and games, and who knows what else comes out these days. I mean, they've got the Apple Watch coming up in the future. That's going to be something to think about, perhaps.
I'm not gonna dev for that. I'm going to do phones for a while, hopefully make enough money to move away from Victoria and like move closer to the people that I work with so that like we can have an office or something and open up a studio and do PC games. I have a couple games that I want to make. One of them is like a Roller Coaster Tycoon, but I can't really tell you more than that because I don't want to like I don't want someone else to make it. I'm a little anal about it, but it's a great game. Like, it's such a good idea. I've been working on it for about 6 months, just like building back-end stuff. And then the other game I just came up with the other day, and it has like Zelda style combat, like you know the 2D Zeldas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's isometric. It's all in 3D. You can rotate the camera just because I wanted to build it in 3D and I don't want to like design a 3D world where the camera is always like fixed.
Will you have like that gimmick with the phones where you tilt it sideways and the camera
No, this
moves?
is like a PC game.
Okay, I was about to say.
And so yeah, and like the Roller Coaster Tycoon style game is also a PC game. Because I've just been working in Unity, so it's nothing to build on PC and like Mac and Xbox and Wii U and everything else. Actually, both of those games are games I want to make for the Wii U. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I got a lot going forwards in the regard like in the area of making games. But we're gonna do a couple more apps because if we make enough money like doing them. Then we can like sit comfortably while we work on a huge project and like not worry about having to make money for like a year and a half. And then we could make a like a real proper game and hopefully make a shitload of money so that we can make more games. 'Cause like all I've
Well,
ever wanted to do is make games. So this is my chance.
you're pushing forward, following the dream, and you're being smart about it. You're not just diving into the deep end and expecting, someone to finance you on Kickstarter and, end up like those many, many, many zombie survival horror games, which come along. It's like it's an open world game, and you have to survive and scavenge items. Just like Rust and H1Z1 and every other game like that that's come out in the last year and
So,
a half. Ugh.
open world scavenging is a big part of my Zelda style game. And there's a crafting system.
Oh, I'm just kicking you down. Oh,
But
without even thinking.
So so you've obviously played Wind Waker. So imagine if you're like playing a 2D Zelda game, but it's Wind Waker. And then it also has survival elements. So like you have three like, I guess you have four bars, like a health bar, a hunger bar, a dehydration bar, and an exhaustion bar. And when you're exhausted, like, you have to sleep. When you're hungry, you have to eat. And when you're dehydrated, you have to drink water. And there's different types of islands. And, like, mountain islands or volcano islands have, like, you can mine in them for metals, obviously, if you have a pickaxe. But you can, they're like dungeons. And then there are, like, jungle islands and, like, other types of islands that just don't have, like, every island has its own ecosystem, basically, just like Wind Waker did. But these ones are procedurally generated, and the jungle islands and stuff, you have to scavenge on to get wood to like start a fire to cook food, or like to hunt or fish or like forage food.
See, I like that.
And then you have to like build a little tent, like build a little house and like a workbench and shit.
See, that I like a lot more because, as you said, each ecosystem alternates between per island. Whereas lately, with this whole trend of survival, action, zombie, like, outbreak situation sort of games, like Rust and DayZ and WarZ and the many others that have come and gone, it's always the same sort of thing. It's a mountain-like side town in a rural area, so there's obviously not enough military personnel to come out and help out, and there's a limited amount of, to scavenge, and it's just very open world and ended, but it's all the same sort of scenery. And
yeah, and I also don't know about their mechanics. I feel like we have a solid combat mechanic that's like proven. Walk around, hit A.
All the games lately, they've been mimicking the armor system, where you can do first person, but you can switch over to third person, but third person has the exploit of, you know, being able to see further and to your sides and whatnot than first person. So,
That's not at all what we would be doing. Like,
exactly.
But also, I don't want to like go to Kickstarter for it because, to be honest, I don't know how. Like, one, I know it's a huge project. Like, it's big. Take a long time to make all those assets because it's all in 3D. Because I don't want to deal with 2D sprites, because you get into weird things when you want to like build a world that big. So it's just easier to do it with 3D stuff. So one, I don't know how, like, from an asset point of view, it's huge. It would take a year. From a technical view, I'm not sure all of the like minute details. So right now, like, it's not something that I have the money or the time to get behind. Because, like, although I'm confident in my ability to program something like that, I have no clue how long it would take me, because I would really have to sit down and, like, budget and plan it out, and that would take me, like, a couple of months. And this is a game that I'm currently, like, writing a design document for, so I'm not at the point where I... Like, part of the design document is figuring out how long it's going to take and what the technical requirements are. But I'm not at that point yet in, like, the design document. I'm at the point where I'm trying to make it seem fun. So.
Well, you have to go through these design processes, naturally. So, yeah. Of course, as you were saying, you know, you're budgeting in advance. So it's good that you haven't been like many other blind indie devs who just dive in head first and then ultimately cause problems for themselves and the people who potentially invested.
Yeah, well, I mean, they run out of money. I think all the people who do that, though, like the big Kickstarters that have failed, all of them have been like ran by people who aren't programmers, which puts them in the position where if they run out of money, they can't finish. There's plenty of Kickstarters that are ran by programmers that they haven't failed, but they slowed down. Like, I mean, they were obvious. Like, they were very open about it. They're like, we're out of money, so everyone else isn't working on this anymore, but I am, because I have the technical abilities to continue developing it. Whereas other ones, like that sword fighting game, I can't remember what it was started up by a writer from the UK, and
I believe they had like a live action jousting video, like demonstrating how the intricate details of sword fighting. I believe that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. And they ran out of money because, I mean, it's a crazy idea that would take like a lot of time to implement because you need really excellent physics and the human body is fucking strange. Like from a programming point of view, it would just take a long time to write everything because you have to do such like an accurate simulation. And they didn't have the money to do it. They ran out of money, and then the programmer left because he wasn't being paid anymore. And that was it. Like, there's no way to go forwards at that point because the person who raised all the money didn't actually have any marketable skills.
Sadly, you can sell anyone a pipe dream on the internet as long as there's enough people willing to go along with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just because, like, that the writer was, like, somewhat successful, so he was, like, riding on his success that he already had in order to, like, popularize his Kickstarter. But it was also that summer that Kickstarter was, like, getting really big for video games. I think, I mean, there's too many good examples of video games from Kickstarter to say like that is a bad thing. Like Divinity, for example, Divinity Original Sin, that's like one of the best games of last year, and that was Kickstarted.
Shovel Knight as well.
Broken Age, even though, I mean, it's not out yet, but it's coming out soon. And like, even when they went episodic with that, like, it didn't ruin it. They split it really well from everything I've heard, even though I haven't actually played it yet. But that's just because I'm waiting for both parts to be out. But Broken Age is a good example. What else is there? Wasteland 2, Project Eternity, which now has a name. I can't remember what the fucking name is, though. Maya, which is a game that I backed, that they didn't give a time when it was going to be like released besides 2015, and it looks like it's going to be out in the middle of 2015.
The Shadowgate remake Kickstarted.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of games that have done really well. There's some that have done quite poorly. But I think the majority of the games that you thought would never deliver never got funded anyways because they were by no names. Like, I mean, there's a million MMO pitches on fucking Kickstarter. None of those have been funded.
Of course, there have been some really bad disasters created by Kickstarter. Like, was it Yogg-Weld or something like that?
Oh, yeah, because they had, like, a couple of programmers, but they weren't really good enough. They were more businessmen than they were programmers, and so they weren't good enough to do the game by themselves. Wintercool is the company that you're talking about, and they weren't really good enough to make the game by themselves, and they couldn't find a few people to hire, and they made some really silly business mistakes that lost them like huge amounts of money. For example, they hired an animator who got a job at Pixar, and because he got the job at Pixar, he was unable, like, his employment contract said that he wasn't allowed to continue his employment at Wintercool, and so he had to leave. However, he got paid up front, and there was no stipulation in his contract regarding that he had to finish the work, so he got, like, 8 months of pay for 2 weeks of work.
Dang.
Yeah. But they, like, made a ton of mistakes with that. Also, the game that they pitched was just too big. It was an obvious exploitation of the Yogscast fan base in order to make a bunch of money. But I think that that's, like, the only case that's like that. I can't think of any other games that did that.
The odd occasional failure or... But ultimately, yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, there's, like, for example, that sword fighting game, though, that guy, like, they really ran out of money. It wasn't like they didn't spend the Kickstarter money. It was like he released his breakdowns. It's just that that he didn't really get how much it was actually going to cost, Whereas, like, the Yogscast game, their business plan was that they would get it into early access and make money off of pre-orders and, like, alpha sales, but they didn't get any of that money. Like, they didn't make the money that they thought they were going to make during development. So, it ended up just going nowhere. Also, like, the Yogscast took, like, a huge chunk of the money as part of the contract, so... Yeah.
But, of course, that's the future of 2015 for you, but this podcast, I believe, is about 2014.
Well, some of it is. So, let's start with that Nintendo Direct, and then we'll do the best and worst trends of 2015, because that Nintendo Direct, or of 2014, I mean, but that Nintendo Direct was, like, the way to kick off the year. I mean, Nintendo, like, kicked ass in 2014 as far as actually releasing games. Like, they released all of the best games. I mean, Shovel Knight is a Nintendo exclusive besides the PC version, but I don't think that at this point console players consider the PC when you talk exclusivity, because Titanfall.
You have shit. PS4 and I believe Vita soon, and then there's Xbox One later in the future.
For Shovel Knight?
Yes.
Yeah, well, for 2014, it was a Nintendo exclusive.
Yeah, it was the Nintendo title to have, yes. But of course, it was delayed in Europe. Thanks, Nintendo.
Yeah. Shitty. But, I mean, you had Shovel Knight on Nintendo. You had Bayonetta 2. That shit's game of the year. That is an amazing game. But you had Bayonetta 2, Smash Brothers, Super Mario Kart, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, which is fantastic. Pushmo World, also fantastic. Like, the Wii U had, like, a ton of games. Like, it had a lot of good games. I mean, I wouldn't say it had a ton of games, but I would say it had more games than the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4.
Oh, most certainly.
And these ones were good.
And you've also got the 3DS. The 3DS had a nice selection of games. You had... This isn't out in America, sadly, but I really enjoy this game. It's called Nintendo Pocket Football Club, which, as the name implies, is a micromanagement game where you look after a small pixel football team and move them up in the world. It's very similar to that of Football Manager on the PC, made by Sega, but it's very cutesy, very Nintendo of the way it handles the game. I believe also Mario Golf, the Toadstool Tour sequel, World Tour on 3DS came out, and I think a Kirby game also came out.
Yeah, there was a Triple Deluxe or whatever.
I think it may have been Triple Deluxe, yes.
Yeah, the one that was, like, even easier than previous Kirby games. Joe and I had a fight about this on the podcast. He's like, no, you don't play Kirby for the difficulty. I was like, yeah, but at some point, like, it gets too easy.
Yes,
and, Triple Deluxe is that. You it walk to the right and hit A. Like it's real easy. Like, it's the easiest Kirby game I've ever played in my life. I mean, that's saying something, because, like, Kirby games are all easy. But this one's, like, too easy. Fantastic, right? But,
No, I agree. Kirby games tend to be very simplistic in their approach. And yeah. When you
know what
make
Kirby
it
game
too
is
easy?
Hard?
No.
Tilt and Tumble. Fucking Tilt and Tumble. So goddamn hard. Do you know what that one is?
Is that the one with, like, motion sensors?
Yeah,
the
for the Game Boy Color.
Yes, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, that shit was hard. I'm going to rip it off. I think I'm going to turn it into a phone game, because I thought it was really good. I just want to make, like, good phone games. So everyone's like, you shouldn't fuck with the accelerometer. No one will want to play it. I'm like, I don't give a shit if it's fun. But, yeah, I want to, like, do something with that, because I really liked that game when I was a kid for whatever reason. You still
I'm
there?
Just, well. I'm just scrolling through these and the Nintendo exclusives that came out, and you're right, they really did just, like, thinking about it, they just utterly dominated every season. Spring, summer, autumn, winter, there's just a Nintendo game for you, and if not, then clearly you've not appreciated the Wii U this year, if you likely, in this case, don't own one.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to someone, and like, they're like, "What video games do you like this year?" And I was like, "Oh, I have a Wii U, so I played a lot of that." And I'm like, "What the fuck's a Wii U?" And I was like, "You mean a Wii?" And I was like, "No, no, a Wii U. It's a new console from Nintendo, and it's not like the Wii. It just shares a name. Like, it's so good. Like, there's so, it has all of the good games on it. Like, there's no bad Nintendo games or like any of the major releases for the Wii U. None of them are bad. I mean, there's a bit of shovelware on the system, but there's shovelware on the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. So yeah,
the Xbox One launched with shovelware.
Yeah.
So there you go. Although, sadly, that trend will ultimately end in a few months when Mario Party 10 comes out.
Oh, don't trash talk Mario Party 10. I am so excited for that shit.
No online, and there's a game mode limited to only amiibos. Come on.
No. Did you watch?
I did watch that direct.
Who plays Mario Party online? No, it defeats the purpose. You want to play it with people like in the same room. I mean, Smash Brothers has online. I've never played it online. Mario Kart has online. I've never played it online. I play all of that shit with people in the same room. That's the reason why I love my Wii U, is that it's the only console where I can sit down and play with people in the same room. Like, you want to know what game got a lot of playtime in my house last year? And it's for the Wii U. Tekken Tag Tournament 2.
That game has become really difficult to find lately.
I bought it when I got my Wii U because I love me some Tekken, but I didn't have an Xbox and I didn't have a PlayStation, so I.
It's definitely something I would like to play, and of course the Direct gave us some sort of Tekken news, if you will.
Yeah, but like, I like to play those games with people. Like, I don't like the online. It doesn't give you the same like experience. I mean, the reason why we loved Tekken so much was that we were like, you'd have eight people around. I mean, only two people would be playing, but it'd be like
the rotation system.
The rotation,
yeah.
Like everyone's around, like they're getting super hyped on fucking Tekken, like watching goddamn Kuma like maul some old man's face off.
Do you wear the Mario items?
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the reasons I wanted to get it on the Wii U, was because of the additional extras included for the Wii U version. But in Europe, I don't know if it's the case in America, but in Europe the game's become increasingly difficult to find because they just kept knocking the price down to the point where everyone seems to own it, but stores no longer have it.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the same here. It probably is like impossible to find. I mean, Wii U games here are just fucking, they're hard to find. So, because like no one bothers to stock them, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Unless
it's the shovelware. Like, I'll go into the store and it'll be like, "Hey, we've got all these Wii Sport ripoffs." Well, it's because they got like,
what, 5 copies of it and none of them ever sold? Like, exactly. That's why they have them.
And I remember over Christmas there was like those shovelware games, some Hot Wheels racing game. Deus Ex Human Revolution Director's Cut, of course not selling. And the Batman games on the Wii U.
Yeah, I mean, that's the stuff that I didn't buy on the Wii U, because I have a PC, so. But that Nintendo Direct announced a lot of stuff. Like, they came out this year, like, it was this week, so we're like 3 weeks into the year, and it was like, hey, we already have this shit on lockdown. We have every good game coming out. Like, Mario Party 10 is good if you have friends. I mean, I guess, like, it sucks that there's no online, because even though I've never played those games online, like, have no interest in it, I guess it would be nice to play with, like, you and Joe and everyone else now that there's now that people that I know actually have Wii U's. But on the other hand, like, I'm not upset about it, because I'll mostly just play that shit with, like, my three friends.
And your amiibos. Don't forget your amiibos.
That amiibo mode doesn't look awful.
I like the models of the amiibos. In general, I think the amiibos is a clever concept by Nintendo cashing in on what Activision has already empired with Spyro.
Yeah, well, but I mean, with Skylanders, Nintendo was offered Skylanders as, like, to be the publisher, but they turned it down. And then Activision picked it up and turned it into a few billion dollars a year profit.
I was just looking at them. It's like, you got Toad, sure. You got Wario, Luigi, Mario. Where's Waluigi? Where's my
Waluigi
Daisy?
Waluigi should have his own video game. I highly agree with Dan Reichert that Waluigi needs his own video game. I don't know what it is yet, but he should get one.
I think it'd be perfect if it's him and he goes after Daisy. Because you just take the two characters completely ignored by Nintendo currently and just put them in a game together.
Yeah, he can, like, sexually harass her, and it'll not be awkward, maybe not PG.
Hashtag not all was.
Not all was.
Coming at her with tennis equipment and golf clubs and every other side attraction game they've been in.
Yeah, because those are the only games that they end up in, is, like, fucking tennis and shit.
And then, of course, Rosalina, you know, she's more successful than Daisy has been in years. But, the Amiibos, they're certainly garnering interest. And I've seen people who are actively dismissing Nintendo in the previous Direct, saying, oh, Amiibos, they're just a kid's fad. And then I see their Twitter timeline over Christmas. It's like, look, I got Captain Falcon. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't buy any. I didn't go in soon enough in the day that they came out to be able to get Wii Fit Trainer, so now I'm just not going to get any. If someone finds me a Wii Fit Trainer, fucking, I want it. I want it so bad. That's the only one I want, is Wii Fit Trainer.
I'm tempted to buy Rob when Rob finally comes out.
I just want Wii Fit Trainer. I made Wii Fit Trainer in Smash Bros. No, I've been playing Smash Bros. Like a lot with my friends over the Christmas break, and all I've been fucking playing is Wii Fit Trainer, and they get so mad about it because they're like, "She's such a shitty character. Stop playing Wii Fit Trainer." And then I beat them with my Wii Fit Trainer. Like the first day or two, I didn't really get Wii Fit Trainer, but then after a while, like, she doesn't play like the other characters, but you get her eventually.
For me, I play a mixture of Jigglypuff, Greninja, and Kirby, and I've been playing with a few of my Nintendo friends. Well, obviously I call them Nintendo friends because the YouTube community is very diverse and they're the ones very passionate about Nintendo, and things get heated in Skype calls, I have to say. Like, these are people who are very calm, and suddenly they're using every excessive swear word to describe my actions as Kirby, because I'm a suicidal player, you see. And if I know you've got one stock left and I have two, I'm going to swallow you and jump off the stage. I'm ruining your day. Especially with Bowser side B.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know you're going to ruin someone's day when you do that. And they've only got one stock left. If Jack Bros does listen, I had him, I think, screaming for about 3 minutes at me. The salt was real.
You know what game I really want to get people to play with me, but I never managed to? Monster Hunter. Fucking Joe has Monster Hunter. You have Monster Hunter. I know Sam has Monster Hunter.
It's just time zones, man.
I know. I just want someone to play fucking Monster Hunter with. It's my favorite game, and I have no one to play goddamn Monster Hunter with. It's so fucking good. However, I can't get a high rank because I need someone to play with so I can
get armor and
goddamn
grind.
Triple hunts.
But yes, we'll definitely have to arrange something in the future.
Yeah, we need to get Joe and Sam in on this. Play some motherfucking 4-player Monster Hunter. Because it's so good. It's the best. Like, the fact that Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate is not coming out on goddamn Wii U, I'm so upset.
Yet. That's all I'm thinking. It's Capcom, so I'm just thinking in my head, yet.
Yeah, I mean, it has to come out eventually, right? Like, they like money. I mean, they need money. It's Capcom. They did not do anything last year.
With the subject of Monster Hunter 4, of course, being in Direct, with the Monster Hunter 4 3DS announced as well. Well, new 3DS,
I
say.
Like, I would almost get it, but Monster Hunter 4 looks like such ass on the the DS, right? Like, it's so pixely and jaggy, and I just don't. Whereas Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate is, like, it's so clean and nice and...
I just find it funny. You called it jaggy. It's a basic tier monster, is what you're saying.
I know.
No, I just love all the promotional stuff they have in the game this year. You've got DMC outfits and weapons, you've got Animal Crossing, Sonic, Metroid Prime gear, Mario. I'm sure there's one or two other games they announced as well that they've kept
Yeah, but it's
aside.
on the wrong system. Like, it's that simple. It's just it's on the wrong system. If it was on the Wii U, I would like go to GameStops. Well, I guess they're EB Games here, but I would go to EB Games and like yell at people to buy it. I'd go and buy 10 copies just for myself. Just like give to people. They'd be like, "I don't have a Wii U." And it's like, "Well, now you have to buy one." Because it's just so fucking good. It's so good. It's like crack.
It's very addictive just playing because myself and Sam we just said we'll just do one quest, because it's late for you, and then four quests later we're
Yeah.
still going in, and it's like we got the Carapaco. Yes. So yes, if you're listening to the podcast, treat yourself to some Monster Hunter.
Got all Monster Hunter all the time. It's the only game I played more of last year than Bayonetta.
It did eat up a lot of my time playing it. We even convinced one or two people, me, myself and Sam, to get it. It is something. I don't know if you watch them. They're a small Let's Play group. They're called Item Box. They got guys like Pterodactyl and Long Arms. They're up and coming YouTubers, and only one of them owned Monster Hunter. His name is VZ. And since then, about four of them now own it. Just by forcing them to try it out and stuff, so there the
Yeah,
Monster
I mean
Hunter
it's great.
is
The
growing somewhat.
demo is really bad though. The demo if you haven't played Monster Hunter before is like impossible, 'cause it just throws you in against a big monster.
Well, I guess they're giving you the Monster Hunter experience. You're gonna die eventually.
Yeah,
Why
but
not die
like
right away?
you haven't been explained like the controls or how the game works or like anything. It just like fucking throws you in.
I
Whereas
joined.
like that fight is like 3 hours into the game.
I joined a Skype call with the guys who just got the game. I was like, "So, what did you think of the tutorial missions with the cats and everything?" And they're like, "We didn't do them. We're just playing now." I was like, "Oh no, I'm gonna have to give them like a speed run explanation of everything." But yeah.
Yeah, I told Joe that he had to play the tutorial before we could play together. I don't know if he ever got through it, but
Wherever you are, Joe, we hope you're playing Monster Hunter.
yeah, you should be playing Monster Hunter and get through the tutorial so that we can play Monster Hunter. Man, yeah. So what else was in the direct? Xenoblade
Well,
Chronicles X. I'm so excited.
yes.
I want it so bad.
I know it's quite the collector's piece in America compared to Europe.
Well, Xenoblade Chronicles, like the original
On the
one,
Wii,
is
yes.
like fucking it's like $150 'cause they only manufactured enough discs to fill out pre-orders. And so if you like there's no goddamn discs.
There was a awkward situation in Europe during the summer, basically. We still have a lot of copies in how would you describe it? Unopened, yes.
Yeah,
A lot of
sealed.
stock unopened, and there was a situation where a company here had the collector's edition with the red controller, and they were selling them between it was £20 a game, which is I would say that's around maybe $17.
Huh? No,
Yeah.
you're going
No,
the wrong
wait. No,
way.
I'm thinking backwards
I
here.
was
So
like,
that about
what are you fucking talking about? The pound is like $2.
Yeah, so it would be about like 20, yeah, $23. Funnily, I'm going to the 90s with Clinton back in power, where the dollar was most efficient. But no, it was an awkward time just seeing these games disappear so quick. I was like, I might buy a copy. It's not my sort of game. It's like by the time I'd reached the store, they had been sold out the entire country, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean that's an amazing game. It's the JRPG like of last generation.
Wasn't it Square Enix saying they were playing that game a lot when trying to design their own game at one point?
I don't know.
I heard there was like a team that were put together. I think it was Square Enix, and they were spending every Thursday, instead of working as a team developing on the game, they were actually just sitting around playing Xenoblade, saying, why isn't our game like this?
And well, then they look at licensing. Fair, I do that a lot. Where I'll like play a game and be like, I could make this better. And then I try to.
But in the case of Square, they were like, we've got lightning. What's going wrong?
Well,
that's an entire another topic, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, thank God those guys, that the guy who like made Final Fantasy 13 got promoted so that he doesn't make games anymore.
Promoted, quote on brackets.
Yeah, I mean, there sometimes you can't fire someone, so you just have to promote them out of a position where they can ruin things.
So, I hear that's quite a common thing in the Japan, at least in their companies.
I mean, it even happens here. There's a so in the province I live in, we have a company called BC Ferries, and they run the ferry service for the province. And there are guys, like, for example, like a decade ago, this guy was he was a captain, and he pulled away from the dock too early and like killed 10 people.
Oof.
And they just promoted him so that he like wasn't a captain anymore.
Take him off the ocean or the river or whatever it is, and make him do something else. I guess that makes sense. Save face for the company.
Yeah, like they got him to do, basically they promoted him out of his position so that he wouldn't like potentially kill more people. But yeah, like they do that in the US too, in the UK probably. Because like some people, just because of like their union or their contracts, are just like not fireable.
But returning to Direct, obviously, going from that grim note of 10 people dying on a boat, we have other games coming to the 3DS, which launches February 13th internationally. Well, America and Europe. Majora's Mask.
I wanted to talk about that, but Joe's not here. He's so sour that they fucking sold out.
Like, yes, instantly. I saw on his Twitter. He was complaining about
like,
it.
Yeah, but it's like, you know what? It's not a collector's edition if it is... if everyone can just fucking buy it, like those Assassin's Creed collector's editions.
Oh yes, and then they drop to like half their price a year later because they're just back in stock suddenly.
Oh, I'm talking about the Assassin's Creed Unity ones.
Oh yeah, oh.
They're just, I mean, there's Assassin's Creed Unity Xbox ones like just sitting around.
When I was working in game retail, when Black Flag came out, you had the big Steelbook Edition one. It was like £80 on launch. It's like, this is the ultimate collector's edition. It comes with a statue of Kenway? And by a year later, it was already down to £20 because people still had stock left over. But it was meant to be a collector's piece. And yeah, I think, and like, that may be the case of this console here.
And on the case of like... those collector's editions, because they're big, like they take up a lot of like stock, so you really have to get rid of them. Like, you can't just keep them around.
Yeah, we had
a few discs is like not that big of a deal.
We had the collector's edition of the X and Y consoles for Pokemon.
Yeah,
and they were just sitting around for ages, and we couldn't move them, obviously. So you have to send them back to head office, where they will send them to a place that would actually sell, which is likely nowhere. I know in America they have a really weird, strange pre-order deal going on, because in Europe, when you pre-order the special edition of the game, you get the mask pin, a poster, and there is also a paperweight with the mask laser scanned inside it. Whereas in America, I believe you have the Skull Kid statue, and the pin itself becomes a separate pre-order item for Project Steam.
Yeah.
That's very confusing to me, but... why not just keep your collector's items together? Because in Europe now, we're actually getting the Skull Kid statue as well, but you have to pay a nominal fee on top to get it. Nintendo making their money, what do you expect?
I don't know. Maybe it's just to try to push Project Steam. Project Steam looked kind of cool, so I don't know.
Yeah, the amiibo feature in it is quite impressive as well.
Yeah. I feel like I'm, like, missing out by not having a 3DS at this point, but I just don't have the money. It's so expensive.
And especially now, there's a new 3DS coming out, so even if you just recently bought one, I imagine, just imagine all the kids who just got the 3DS for Christmas.
Yeah.
They are going to be livid. They're going to be dragging their parents down. It's like, no, I want the new one. What do you mean the new one? We just brought you the new one. No, the new one. Oh, the name. I will never get over the name. It's so confusing from a marketing standpoint. If a mother comes into a store, I would like to buy my son a DS. Would you like a new DS or a pre-owned DS? I want the new DS. What do you mean the new DS? It's like a skit from a 1950s sitcom. Where they just don't know the product. Ugh. No. Sorry, they could have named it anything, Nintendo, their marketing team, but what do you expect from the same group that came up with Wii U as a sequel to the Wii?
Yeah. The new 3DS, pretty shitty name, but...
They could have gone Super Nintendo 3DS.
It's not unusual for Nintendo, though. They normally, on their handhelds, have a half step, so... Like, people were upset about the new 3DS coming out, and I was like, you should have expected it. I mean, you had the DS and the DSi, you had the Game Boy Advance, and then how many fucking Game Boy Advances were there?
Well, it's not even that. In Japan, they had the Game Boy, then the Game Boy Pocket, then they had the Game Boy Light, which had a backlight inside the Game Boy Pocket.
Yeah, but you had the Game Boy and the Game Boy Color.
Yeah, and then the Game Boy Color.
The Game Boy Color is your half step there, like it's your proper half step, and the new 3DS is a proper half step in that it is a significant hardware change.
Then like, of course, internally, with the Game Boy, you were mentioning with the Game Boy Advance, you had Game Boy Advance, then you get the Game Boy Advance SP with the backlight, then the Game Boy Advance Micro.
Yeah, so the SP is your half step.
Yes, and with this case, I guess you're. Same with the Nintendo DS and the Nintendo DSi when it had the camera features.
Yeah, exactly.
And the downloadable games. And of course, with the 3DS only being, I think, 4 years old now, this is something that tends to happen in these consoles' lifespans.
Yeah, because the R&D on a handheld is really significant. And if the battery, the issue is if hardware hasn't, advanced far enough, you can't really do a full new one, especially at 4 years. It's not long enough. Because, the Game Boy was always, 8 years. It was never, at the same time as the new console, you know? Or, it was always as... Yeah. So, consoles were coming out, faster in the 90s, right? The last generation was 8 years. But they used to be, four. And so... But, the Game Boy and the Game Boy Color, that lasted a long time. Much more than four. Because I remember going through, two consoles by that time.
So. I guess that, additionally, with the 3DS, its tech isn't as, say, advanced as its competitor, the Vita. So they still have many alterations and changes they can apply to the 3DS model, whereas Sony, all they can effectively do with the Vita is maybe include internal memory or reduce the size or perhaps change a button layout somewhat.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Vita never sold any, so they're probably not going to do anything.
You say that, but they recently announced some Yakuza design Vitas.
Yeah, but they still have Vita hardware. it's Vita exactly. Hardware. Changing the case is not a significant thing. They just have a bunch of goddamn chips laying around. They're not going to change the chip.
The only thing I want to play on those consoles is Persona Golden.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about
it. And I can just probably buy a Vita TV when they're getting thrown out of stores because they're not selling.
Does the Vita TV run Persona Golden?
Yes.
Okay.
I read up on that.
Because I was because I know it doesn't support all of the Vita games, so that's the thing you gotta make sure to check.
Yeah, though, I think a lot of them tend to focus on the back touch technology, which is strange because the Vita TV allows you to use the PS4 controller, which has the touch itself.
Yeah, so. But it also lets you do the PS3.
Yeah. In Europe, I believe they're only selling the Vita TV currently with the Lego Movie.
Weird.
You would think they would try and promote one of their smaller games, perhaps maybe even do something in line to promote a smaller indie game, because you know, with Sony's big focus currently right now on we're pro indie, we're
Yeah, but
promoting
everyone
games
is.
exactly. But with the way they're marketing it, it makes them try and seem like they're the only one. And no, it makes no sense to me that out of everything you bundle with the Vita TV, you bundle a movie, a digital movie.
Yeah, bizarre. Who knows what
But
Sony's doing? Sony didn't even like have a game out this winter.
they had Little Big Planet.
Little Big Planet 3 and Drive Club, two games that no one cared about, and then one of those, actually both of those turned out to be huge fucking technical disasters.
Yes, Drive Club, which is advertised as a focused as a single player experience, when launched digitally, it required online service to be on non-stop, and there were videos of actual game reviewers just
Drive Club was
racing down.
never focused as a single player game. It
No?
has it the appeal of Drive Club is that it has a ton of online social connectivity features, like leaderboards and stuff, and so they built like a ton of social features into Drive Club. It was like the focus of that game, and the mess that Drive Club had when it launched was that none of the online worked, like even a little. Like the whole thing was fucking broken.
But there's a video online, this game reviewer, he's just driving in a race, a single player race, just driving. And then the game just immediately boots him out, saying, no, online's not working right now. For a single player mode, that is. It's,
Oh, bizarre.
yeah, it, I guess it's not the ideal coding. Which is funny when you think about it, because Drive Club in Europe was the best selling exclusive of last year.
Really?
Because it, yes,
That
because it was
game's
bundled.
like got so many problems.
They Sony did what Nintendo did with Wii Sports. They included the bundle sales.
Oh, well then.
Yeah, so
Because,
Drive Club
like.
technically was the top game because it
Because
was
Drive Club's
bundled.
like. Besides its technical issues, it has some huge design issues. Like they pitched it, and they kind of pitched it as like a simulator game, like Forza, but it and it punishes you like a simulator game. Like if you go off the track, you get penalized with extra time on your laps and stuff. But the way that the cars handle is like really arcadey. Like they all have extra grippiness to them. So they like always stick to the ground. Like it's bizarre to drive in that game. It doesn't feel right. But so yeah, like that game has some really significant issues besides just not working when it launched. And then in the case of Little Big Planet 3, like they said that all of that everything would be backwards compatible with like the previous community content, and like all of its online stuff was fucking broken. That was like the big trend of 2014, is that you couldn't release a game with the online working.
Or just it actively not working in general.
Yeah, but I mean specifically the online and everything was broken. Like Master Chief Collection, broken online, Drive Club, broken online, Little Big Planet 3, broken online, Assassin's Creed Unity just broken. Which probably includes the online. Like nothing had working online last year, which is bizarre because it's like, well, it's not that bizarre because new consoles, it's everyone's first go at it, but it just seems like we would have this down. Like it wouldn't change too substantially between the PS3 and the PS4 and the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One, but everyone seemed to fuck it up.
It seems like every company was in agreement. Hey, we fucked up over here, guys. Could you just make a mistake as well so we don't all look incompetent? Oh, cheers.
Yeah, I mean the only people who didn't really like really badly fuck up this year was like EA and Activision. The two companies no one likes.
Yeah, well, that's the ironic thing. You can continue to hate them, apparently. They'll just find excuses as to why they hate them. Oh, we hate EA because of EA's new pass system isn't coming to PlayStation. Yeah, that's because Sony rejected it. Next thing you want to complain about. Oh, we don't like EA because they have the Marvel license now. That's Capcom's fault for not willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we hate EA for this. Just shut up, okay? Just shut up about EA and
I mean, Dragon
appreciate
Age
the
was really
games.
good. Like, they didn't release bad games this year. So,
UFC
that's
game was
nice.
impressive and all of the
The
content
UFC game was
included.
not that good.
But the all the additional content was free, which I appreciate a lot more compared to what's happening with Evolve.
Yeah, man, that was a game that I was like kind of interested in, but not anymore.
I read somewhere apparently if you want all the DLC for the place, like the PC, it's near $70.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, fuck, if I go to buy a Nintendo game, it's $70.
No, this is downloadable content I'm talking about. Get all like the downloadable extra content
on top of the regular game? Oh, fuck that. I thought you meant like $70 including the game. No. I was like, that's not bad. I thought it was going to be way worse because there's so much fucking DLC that they're talking about. No, if it's just $70 just for the DLC, ah, fuck that.
So, from what I've read, I'm sure 2K will probably correct this in a press statement in the future. Map packs are free. All map packs are free. Any additional DLC content you have to pay for. So that includes monsters, character classes, weapons.
Oh, that's the kind of content that shouldn't be DLCs.
It should be the reverse order.
Yeah.
You pay for the maps, which are optional, and then the additional content is in-game. But not the case.
I don't even like paying for map packs. I think that's fucking bullshit. I think they're too expensive normally.
Oh, I totally
if they
agree.
Do it like Counter-Strike where a map model. Pack is like $1, I'm totally down with that. That's fine. But no one does it like that. They're like, you got two maps for $30. I'm like, you kidding me right now? Like, it didn't cost you that much to make these maps. Like, but no, I hate paying for map packs. I think it's garbage. And I think that you shouldn't. They're doing like pre-order bonuses for some of the monsters, and you have to get them. Like, you have to pay for them otherwise. And I think that's fucked up. I think that is really exploitative because it means that, like,
I really do hope
if you have any kind of passing interest in that game, like, they're really trying to get you with a pre-order. And
there's a part of me deep down that's just dreaming inside that there's a monster with Dorito spikes on its back and it spits Mountain Dew.
Oh man, that would be real good. That would be great. We should go over to 2K right now. Be like, hey guys, we got an idea for you. It's a real moneymaker.
In the new Call of Duty, I believe there's actually a Mountain Dew themed armor set.
Really?
Yes, like the exosuit. It's like all green and Mountain Dew, and it's similar to the Dr. Pepper DLC you could have in Dead Space 2.
Amazing.
Yes, you can have Isaac. You can have Isaac and Dr. Pepper branding just head to toe.
Perfect. Okay, the thing about that new Call of Duty, though, is it was actually good.
I've heard that a lot from everyone, and you know what?
I haven't liked Call of Duty since Modern Warfare 1, but I liked that one. I liked Advanced Warfare. I thought it was good.
But of course, all the fans screamed a sigh collectively when they heard, hey guys, we're doing Ghosts 2 for 2015.
Yeah, well.
Well, you got Advanced War for another year, guys. Enjoy.
I mean, no one likes Infinity Ward. I haven't liked Infinity Ward forever. They're garbage. I thought this was going to be Treyarch's year. Why are they doing it?
There's so many subdivisions now that make.
Well, there's three. There's three. There's Treyarch, Infinity Ward, and Sledgehammer.
Neversoft got included recently.
Neversoft got amalgamated into Infinity Ward.
Okay, that makes sense then. Because I was thinking, when I heard Neversoft were doing Call of Duty, I'm thinking, what, are they going to have Superman play in the background? Do some skateboarding tricks and maybe some Guitar Hero solo somewhere?
Why not?
I wouldn't mind that. Although we've already had a skateboarding mercenary, and that was in Evolution Skateboarding. That was the Konami skateboarding game where you could play as Frogger, Solid Snake, and Simon Belmont.
They should just make more Tony Hawk games.
Well, they are. They are.
They need to make Activision. Skate. I know. They got Tony Hawk, but they need to make Skate. And then we can be back in the 90s where, like, there's two games that have the same sport but are, like, completely fucking different in every single way. And this weird rivalry that doesn't really exist between them because they're completely different mechanically and, like, in purpose.
It's funny you mentioned Skate. Skate 3 has shot up the European charts because of the PewDiePie Let's Play of it. The game was just dead in the water, and then it shot up to about, I think, 18th in the charts because PewDiePie was playing it and everyone wanted to play with him.
Cool.
So the power of Let's Plays, maybe EA will notice PewDiePie playing it and consider bringing it back. I wouldn't complain. I quite like the skate mechanic.
I never even played them. But I just want that 90s rivalry that doesn't make any sense back. The 90s. It was great. That was a time.
90s gaming for 90s kids.
Yeah, exactly.
So, returning to 90s kids, we've got Majora's Mask on the 3DS. Yay.
I never played Majora's Mask.
It was actually early 2000s, which is the ironic part of that statement.
Yeah, but it's like kids who grew up in the 90s played Majora's Mask. It's just the fact. But I never played Majora's Mask. I didn't have an N64 at the time.
I played it on the collector's disc, which came with the GameCube.
I didn't have a GameCube.
Okay. A lot of people. Xbox. Were you the ex-bro playing your Halo and your Madden?
I didn't play Madden. I've never played Madden in my fucking life.
Shenmue 2, maybe?
Nope, didn't play
Shenmue. No Shenmue, wow. Jet Set, at least Jet Set.
Yes, I played Jet Set.
Okay, we
it came with an Xbox. Ground. It was really good. I love Jet Set Radio. It was so good. No, it's because I mostly play PC games. Because I was playing WoW and Counter-Strike. That was a decade of my life. WoW and Counter-Strike.
Well, what is your favorite game there? Your favorite PC game with your lovely vampires?
Vampire of the Masquerade Bloodlines. So good.
Every time it's mentioned on 4chan, you have to reinstall it.
Yep, it's a fact. You have to. It's the very first Source Engine game ever made. It was made before Half-Life 2.
Did they recently have a patch for it, years on?
Yeah, they've been patching that game for years.
Oh.
There's still patches coming out every few months.
That's a dedicated community there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real good. You need to play that game. It was on sale for $5 during the winter sale.
It's actually a game I do actively want to play because I've heard nothing but good things about it from those who have played it.
Yeah, I mean it's got some bugs, and it does, and it looks old as shit now.
But it's an early Source game, so bugs.
Yeah, it was the first Source game. It was done before Half-Life 2, but it looks nothing. It doesn't look fucking nearly as good as Half-Life 2, because Half-Life 2 was made by Valve and. Bloodlines of the Masquerade or Vampire of the Masquerade Bloodlines was made by Activision, so but yeah, they finished that game a few months before Half-Life 2 was finished. However, they couldn't release it until after Half-Life 2 because of contract.
Oh, great. Probably because Valve want to promote Source first, obviously.
Yeah, that is exactly what the contract was for. And to be honest, if Source Engine got launched with fucking Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, people would be like, the fuck? This is what you guys have been doing the last decade? This looks like fucking ass. Because it didn't look good. But they really should not have started Source off with Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. That's why they didn't. I mean, it didn't look fucking good. It looked gross.
So with all this talk of the Nintendo Direct, there was, of course, Project Steam, which has, Amiibo support. And the thing that keeps sticking in the back of my mind was when they were talking about, we've got this new feature in the game called Overwatch. You attack players when they move in front of you. Yeah, XCOM.
Yeah.
It was XCOM, because I recently played that. And I've been loving it. And I'm just thinking, yeah, XCOM had this.
Yeah, but Project Steam looks good. I mean, it's made by the same guys who did
Advanced Warfare. Not Advanced Warfare. Well, I'm thinking of Call of Duty. There, Fire Advanced Emblem. Wars, as well. No.
Yeah. Also, Fire Emblem.
I guess. That's getting a sequel as well.
Yeah, it is. Sorry, I just need you to give me half a second. I gotta turn some lights on.
Oh, sure thing.
Because it's pretty dark in here. All right, sorry about that. I'm back now.
Welcome back. But yes,
I'm super blue now for whatever reason.
I was just telling other people listening in. I could actually hear your room echoing just as you walked away.
Yeah,
it's you're in a warehouse. What was that?
Yeah, it's huge. It's quite the room.
So whilst you disappeared, I looked up the highest critically acclaimed games of 2014. And Bayonetta 2 is rightfully top.
Yeah, it should be. But, it's the best.
But in fourth is Kentucky Route Zero, Act 3, which only got 6 reviews, but it's got an average score of 91 on Metacritic.
Who? I didn't know Act 3 was out.
Made by Cardboard Computer. But apparently so. It came out on
No,
May
6. I mean, I love Kentucky Route Zero. It's really good.
Yeah, apparently came out May 6th, so...
Really? Act 3? I didn't... That game's taken a long time to get it. Like, there's been, like, 3 episodes in 2 years. So I've put it down for, like, a while. I'm gonna wait until it's done.
It's just interesting seeing this this top 10, because it's quite a nice mixture of games. So we've got Bayonetta 2, Dark Souls 2, Smash, Shovel Knight, Dragon Age, Binding of Isaac Rebirth, Child of Light, Mario Kart 8.
Dragon Age was really good.
Yeah, because like, mixed things about the second, so it's good to hear so much positivity surrounding the game again.
I've never heard anything good about the second.
Nope. I've heard one or two people defend it, but then again, these are the same people who defend Mass Effect 3, so...
Oh, well, no, they don't know what they're talking about. That game was bad. Mass Effect 3 had, like, one of the worst endings, but Dragon Age 2 was, like, that was so upsetting, because they, like... They sold you a false bill of goods, basically, because like the first one was so good, it was like fucking Baldur's Gate, and it was like, wow, I'm totally sold. Like, this has to be a franchise. I need more of this. And they announced the second one, and I was like, I'm gonna buy it because the first one was amazing. So I mean, if it's even like it can't be bad just because the mechanics are so good, and they completely changed the mechanics, and it was like, oh wow, you made it Mass Effect. Okay, yeah, fuck you. Like, that first game was just the best, and the second game was just awful. The third game is basically a good version of the second game, so that, like, it's good, but it's still not as good as the first one, because it's nothing the same, like, mechanically still, but whatever. Let's get into some best/worst trends of 2014, because we've been running for a while now.
Yeah, sure thing.
All right. What is your... There are very few good trends of 2014, if any. I can't think of one. Do you have any?
In terms of, like, what, hashtags or games, perhaps? Or...
Yeah, like, the best trend in gaming. The thing that kind of, like, just happened frequently this year.
See, I'm the guy who thinks of everything half, you know, half full or half negative, you know, empty. That's me. I'm half empty. So I'm just thinking of all the negative, like.
Yeah, that's my problem too.
Like, all I could think of was like, oh great, another zombie game. Oh great, this or that.
Like, the only good trend that I can think of is that Nintendo just published like weird shit, and
Nintendo went out their way to prove that the Wii U is worth something, and they did a fantastic job promoting it, because the Mario Kart 8 offer they did early in the year, I believe I was in one of the episodes in the podcast last year mentioning this. In Europe, they gave out a ton of games, including Monster Hunter 3, which I'm glad I got with my copy of Mario Kart 8. It was a great way to promote people and introduce them to the Wii U. It's like, we know you're here to get Mario Kart 8, but here's another game you can have complete with it. And, you know, I know a lot of people ended up getting Pikmin 3 or Zelda in the United States because of the limited selection, but nevertheless, it's still a great game to get with it no matter what, if it is Zelda or Pikmin 3.
Yeah, I got Zelda. I already had it. I had every single game on the list, so I gave my copy to Shane for Re-Rez.
Very nice. But I guess outside of Nintendo's elaborate domination, I'm actually a big fan of the EA Vault they've got set up currently. I would prefer if they add games a bit quicker than they currently are set up, but it's effectively a monthly subscription, which is about, I think, $3 a month. And you get EA games early access for a week, effectively a demo. And if you buy the game, everything you did in the game in terms of achievement-wise, unlock immediately. So all your progress is still there no matter what. So let's say you wanted to play Dragon Age a week early. You could, and you had the entire week's worth of the game and all its content completely unlocked. And if you buy it, boom, you got everything there. Additionally, you get loads of games on top inside the vault you can keep once you pay the monthly subscription, and you can end whenever you want. So things like Battlefield, EA UFC, Plants vs. Zombies, Warfare, and stuff like that are all inside the vault. And it's a small initiative I like because ultimately, there are people out there who only, you know, buy Madden once a year or FIFA once a year, and that's their EA game for the year. That's what they buy. So I guess to save a bit of money and wait maybe a month or two until it's put into the vault, I guess, is a money-saving initiative, especially if you're only paying the subscription yearly. You're actually saving money over the top of the additional costs. I mean, FIFA here in the United Kingdom costs about £45 a year. Which is slightly more than the average game price. But if you wait for the Vault version, you're spending significantly a lot less until the next one comes out. But that's my own perspective, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how good the service is. I didn't look into it that much.
It lacks games, real, that's like, the problem.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. And I was like, oh, no, this isn't the thing for me then.
Obviously, with a new generation, there's limited games for every developer. So the Vault, maybe in 2 to 3 years, going to be a great service. But ultimately, at the moment, if you are a big EA fan, something to invest in. If you aren't so much, it's passable, very passable. Of course, being an Xbox One early adapter, I was in the beta, so I got to try it out for a month for free, and I liked what I saw.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really think of any good trends this year. There were some really neat mobile games. I think that's really strange for me to say. Like, I've been working in mobile development, so I've been focusing a lot on it, but, like, Framed was really good. I don't know if you know that game, but you rearrange the frames on a comic book to, like, tell a story, and then you, like, try to get through, like, the pages by, like, solving the puzzle, basically. The animation stuff's really good. The art's good. Like, the sounds are great. Hideo Kojima's, like, Game of the Year was Framed, which is it's on iPhones. It was made by Zoe Quinn.
Okay.
And, but that game was good. Fucking Crossy Road. That game, that is fantastic. Crossy Road is basically, it's super fair. There's no ads or anything unless you like want to watch an ad to get in-game currency. But it doesn't force you to buy anything. You don't have to buy anything. All you do, oh, and there's no like energy or bullshit like that, so you can play the game as much as you want. And it's just like an infinite Frogger.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, and it has really great art. But those are two games that, like, I want to see mobile continue to be not shit. So those are two worthy titles. Also, Threes, that was fantastic. And
I saw shit. That in Duke's video. He did some mobile gaming's top
yeah,
hits.
I watched that. But I want to continue to see mobile not be shitty because I'm currently working in it. And so watching people make not shitty stuff makes me feel like there's hope.
I guess you could say it's also a year of the unlikely underdog, because of course, you know, indie games themselves have ultimately been becoming more I guess public, if you will. They're becoming more
mainstream.
Yes, ironically, the thing that's meant to be underground is now becoming mainstream. But the story of the unlikely games doing well in terms of financial success, I quite like. I mean, Shovel Knight, of course, was a Kickstarter game, but it didn't have an excessive amount of money pitched towards it compared to most games, and it's been a huge success for the company. And there are many other games like that where it's not the big AAA games winning everyone over. It's these niche, these simple games. Like, everyone loves Bayonetta 2, but you wouldn't say Bayonetta 2 is a AAA game from, like, a big studio. Platinum of fumbled around with other publishers in the past, of course, previously being with Capcom under a different banner. So I'm really happy to see so many, I guess, varieties of games having their moment in the spotlight in 2014. Because my game of the year for 2014, surprisingly, is D4, which is a Xbox One game, which is currently free right now.
And it's so fucking weird. It's unbelievably weird.
It's currently free on the Xbox One for all of January if you have Xbox Live Gold. And the reason I'm such a big fan of it is Sweary really knows not only how to capture Western lifestyle as a man from the East, but because a lot of the times you see, like,
his game does not capture Western lifestyle. Okay,
it's
fucking weird. Okay, he knows that people only play his games because they're, like, weird. They're bad weird. He makes bad games that are bad in a good way, and he completely embraces it. And he's in on the joke. Like, you play D4 because it's just this fucking bizarre, crazy experience. It's nothing that isn't like any other games, but it's not like a fucking great game. It's bizarre, and it has weird controls, and it has weird controls. It's just QTEs. Like, it doesn't have particularly great art. The writing is super cheesy. Like, the game is just fucking, it's weird. It's weird and it's funny and it's bizarre, and I just, like, I like it, but it's not a good representation of Western culture.
Clam chowder and Boston. That's all I need.
Because the game is set in Boston, but it has nothing to do with fucking Boston. It's like he watched a goddamn police, like, procedural television show and was like, yep, that's Boston. And he made that a video game. And it's fucking weird, but it's not Boston. I lived in Boston, fucking Boston.
Busting your chops aside. Yes. The game is very different. It's different. It's an experience, which is
there's this woman who lives in your house who's actually a cat, and, like, the game opens with her jumping on you.
And she throws a rat into your mouth.
Yeah.
And if you don't do the QuickTime event quick enough, you almost swallow it.
Yeah.
So the game takes a lot of influence from what he wanted Deadly Premonition to be like. You're basically playing his envision of Deadly Premonition, because he just wanted the game to be a more so point and click with little to no action. But then the team behind Deadly Premonition were like, no, you've got to have action in a survival horror.
Yeah, I mean, D4 is fucking strange.
And I look forward to the next episode if it ever comes along.
Yeah, I know, right? But,
of course, there's Bayonetta 2. We can all Bayonetta talk about 2, our love affair for Bayonetta 2 as much so as we good. Like in this episode.
So good. Now, let's get on to these worst trends, because there's a lot of those to cover.
Oh, bad things about 2014. Like I was saying earlier into the show, the persistent cycle of open world zombie games that have just come out of nowhere. Well, DayZ spawned it, ironically, and ever since then, everyone's trying to mimic it.
Yeah, I mean, let's not even just call it open world zombie games. Can we just call it, like, survival games? Because there's none of them that are, like, any good.
Except for
The Long Dark. The Long Dark actually, like, is, like... So here's the thing. The Long Dark is a survival game where the first thing you do is not punch down a tree. Like, every fucking, like, Rust, you cut down a tree. Like, any game that is, like, a survival game, you cut down a goddamn tree. And then you make something. And in The Long Dark, you start off in the middle of nowhere and you go and you find goddamn shelter. Because you can't build a fucking house. You have to go find one. And when you go and cut down wood, because you found a hatchet, so that means you could actually cut down goddamn wood, you don't go up to a tree and cut it down. Like, you just say, like, cut wood, and then, like, tells you how, like, long it's going to take, and then how many, like, calories it's going to burn, and just fast forwards you through time. Like, the game is about managing your resources, basically, so that you actually survive, whereas every other survival game is, like, cut down wood, build a wall.
Or in the case of the ones with the zombie element, it's To survive, I'm just going to take this axe conveniently laying around in the street and hatchet this guy who just spawned in. And that's my aim of survival, by killing everything in sight.
Yeah.
No, it's growing still with the recent, is it H4, X4, whatever it's called? The Sony published one. Yes, that one that just came out, which Sony are agreeing to do refunds for. Damn. Because people, the game launched and the servers are only meant to have 48 people per server. There have been servers with over 200 people per server.
Nice.
Yeah, and the game's all about the battle royale aspect of it. So it's intentionally set up for player versus player combat. And when you're 200 people spawning in at the same time during a battle royale, and then it turns out your parachutes don't open on spawn because you get launched out of a plane, everyone just parachutes down and crashes to the floor because they have no parachutes opening.
Yeah, but that game's in early access. Like, it's not done.
Yeah, but...
I think anyone who buys an early access title should, like, be aware that it's going to be bugged and not work.
Yeah, so people immediately, on the PlayStation 4 front at least, been demanding refunds, which Sony have been complying to. A trend of hacks, I guess we can all blame Lizard Squad. That was a trend for a while, them annoying people on Xbox Live and PSN.
Yeah, yeah. That's
We're going to DDoS you this week because we can. Oh, thanks. Know.
There's like three things that I think are like the worst. Well, they're the worst trends. I think one of them is the most obvious one as worst trend, like within gaming this year. But
oh, I've been tiptoeing around it because I know you're gonna mention it.
so the three worst ones are shipping broken games, because that happened how many times this year, especially at the end of the year, like games would just come out and they'd be broken. Like
Assassin's Christmas.
Creed Unity.
Christmas was like
Far Cry
a glitchy
4
year.
Was broken on PC. Watch Dogs fucking was broken on PC. Also, huge disappointment in general. That came out at the beginning of the year. Remember when Watch Dogs was going to like define the generation?
Yes. How big was the budget again? 70 million, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it's
Master Chief Collection came out broken. Little Big Planet 3 came out broken. Drive Club came out broken. Like, just a lot of broken games. So, fucking one of the worst trends, broken games.
Oh, I'm just scrolling through this list here, and I just remembered Thief 4 came out this year.
Yeah, that came out this year. That wasn't that broken, though. Another awful trend, Ubisoft. Just Ubisoft. So Ubisoft makes the same game like five times a year. Watch Dogs is the same as Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed is, they released two of those this year, so Assassin's Creed is the same as Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed is the same as Far Cry 4, and Far Cry is the same as Drive Club. They're all open world games covered in tiny little icons with towers. You have to go climb a tower and it unlocks a section of the map. Even in a fucking car racing game, you have to go to a tower and go up it to unlock a section of the map. So, fucking Ubisoft open world design, like, that is bad enough to be a goddamn trend. Make a not open world game.
Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed being the same. There have been comparisons of, like, animations and whatnot shown where they've effectively taken all the running and walking animations from Assassin's Creed 4 and just put them onto the dude from Watch Dogs. I forget his name. Aiden, that's it. Aiden.
Yeah, I don't
it's just,
remember.
It's recycled. There's lots of recycled elements put into Watch Dogs.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And we still got a second coming out this year. Yay! Because Ubisoft stated, we're going to make Watch Dogs the next Assassin's Creed. And by that, we're going to make it a franchise forced upon you.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. But...
You know what? You know who did this as well? You know who did this last generation, Ubisoft? THQ. You know what happened to them? And bust.
What did they force as a franchise?
They were trying to force things like Homefront to happen, and they were pushing Saints
Yeah,
Row
but Homefront wasn't
heavily.
bad, and Saints Row performed really well.
Then, well, what else did THQ have? Because they lost
TH
a
no
lot of
T
money.
THQ lost a lot of money because they did a hardware deal that on
There was
a
also the what's it called? UDraw.
Yeah, that's the
Oh,
thing. That's the thing I was gonna say. That's where they lost a lot of money because they did UDraw and
but
they
then their
manufactured a ton of
franchise they
hard.
did have, they just pushed badly, like Red Faction when they did
Well,
Armageddon.
yeah, I mean that game was bad, but I don't know if that was like
Then you
franchise breaking.
the Warhammer series they poorly capitalized on.
Yeah, but I like they lost a lot of money in a lot of other places. Like UDraw is like a huge thing that no one points to, but they spent like hundreds of millions of dollars designing and manufacturing hardware for a thing that didn't sell anything, like at all.
I guess the way I'm like interpreting it is not ideal compared to what Ubisoft's doing right now, because with Ubisoft it's just the same game yearly.
Yeah, I mean, they'll stop when they have a new game.
Well, we've been waiting how many years for that new Ghost Recon? Not Ghost Recon, the other one. It's they're all
Rainbow
Tom
Six.
Clancy. Yes, Rainbow Six.
Yeah, well, they canceled a Rainbow Six game, and then the one that they had like originally announced, but they've announced a new one.
Oh, great.
Because a few years ago they announced a Rainbow Six game that they canceled it last year.
It's the one you
But
could go into other people, right? Like their mindset.
I can't remember.
Ah, it's been a while since I saw the E3 footage. I think that's the year of Mr. Caffeine.
Yeah, maybe. It doesn't really matter. But
So
no,
what
they
is the
canceled
number
that one
one?
this year and they announced a new one this year. But I don't know, it looks like Ubisoft's gonna make some not open world games as well.
They had Child of Light.
Yeah. I mean they did some really good indie stuff, but if Ubisoft would stop making open world games, that'd be amazing. It'd be fantastic, really. The obvious last thing that I'm gonna say, because the only thing we haven't said on this podcast yet as a bad trend, but like online harassment was like a huge thing this year. That's the obvious worst trend, because it was very prominent.
It's prominent for months on end. It's still prominent right
It's
now.
yeah. I mean, like, fucking, like, regardless of your opinions on Zoe Quinn, she like launched a new service that helps people. Like, it basically is like a guide to help you like pull down your information from the internet to help you like not get doxxed and then subsequently swatted. And people were like angry at her for starting a service to help you not be harassed online. And it was like, how can you fucking like you're harassing her because she's creating an anti-harassment like service with that is like non-profit. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Like, there's no like this is th there's no losing here. Like, you can't justify that. Like, we've been treating you shitty for months. How dare you try to help us stop treating people shittily? Like, what? It doesn't make sense. Everyone's mad. Like, Gamergate is the fucking dumbest thing. It's so dumb. So dumb. Because there's just like no facts behind it, basically. And I mean, both sides are dumb. Like,
There
every.
is no winning no matter which camp you sit in. We all have our alternative opinions and feelings towards it, and some are better not addressed directly on the podcast. But the extremes on both sides are as fucked as one another. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, if it was about ethics, then it wouldn't be about harassing female developers, so. That's my opinion on it.
Because both extremes right now, it's like you should stop harassing them, so we're going to harass you, and then it's just a continuous cycle of nonsense
Yeah.
as they harass one another. It's like, yeah, great, well done. You're just actively doing the one thing you're saying we shouldn't do.
Yeah, it's fucked. It's so dumb. And you know, hopefully one day it stops. But the fact that August never ends is killing me. It actually, like last month, I was really highly considering just like not working in games, because it was just like, holy fuck, like, people will send death threats because you modified the fucking sniper's rifle in Call of Duty. Like, never mind. Maybe this isn't the field for me.
There's all sorts of weird things coming forward because of this, and some are true, some may not be true. It's really difficult to know where the lines are blurred at the moment, because there are people creating information just to, I guess, invoke the crowds and rile them up, and that's not good. You're making things far worse for these people than they need to currently experience, especially months on.
Yeah, it's dumb. I mean, in the case of some people, like, if it was I just have a really hard time understanding why Gamergate is centered around, like, Zoe Quinn, Anita Sarkeesian, and, like, these other individuals, if it was about, like, ethics and games journalism. Because they're not fucking game journalists. So, why are they somehow involved in this? It's just really dumb.
It is. In terms of what's being, who and what is being targeted in this agenda, if you will, you want to call it that. Yeah, they're completely aiming at the wrong people. And it's going to continue for some time, because ultimately that's the way the internet works. You can't calm a group down just by reason. You have to invoke some sort of force. I mean, I still go onto sites now and I still see the same arguments that occurred a year and a half ago. Like, I go onto one forum and they're still complaining about, do you prefer Game Grumps pre or after JonTron? He's been gone for over a year. Stop talking about also, him being part of it.
Game Grumps. They were never that good. But that, the only good... Okay, here's the... I subbed to Game Grumps because that fucking Goof Troop Let's Play was really good. And then nothing else was ever good. Nothing else.
But, like, even a year on, there are still people moaning about it. They've actually gone on the R Game Grumps Reddit page and actively banned conspiracy theories about JonTron.
To be honest, I like it post JonTron because Danny screams less. I mean, I haven't watched Game Grumps in like 9 months, but like when JonTron left, I was like, I'm interested in looking at this just because, like, I have a podcast, I like video games, like, they're like a big thing in the YouTube community. So, like, if you're doing this kind of stuff, like, you have some kind of curiosity in what the fuck they're actually doing that is, like, making them popular. So I took a look. I by far prefer Danny because he just doesn't scream as much. Like, at the end, JonTron would literally just, like, scream and break out into fucking random songs, and they would just never get anywhere. It was just like, ah, my God, just make progress in this fucking video game, you asshole. Like, it's not that goddamn hard.
But you there have just helped ignite this fire somewhere on a forum. Someone out there's listened and is going, that guy.
I know.
Dapper Game Podcast.
Someone's going to threaten to kill me. My house is going to be swatted. Just, I've accepted that. But Danny.
Pro JonTron hashtags are going to appear in your comments section, and there's going to be anti-Aaron and stuff like that.
Yeah, and people are going to boycott Major Space Laser, which is going to make Major Space Laser popular, just like it did Anita Sarkeesian, and I'll just be fucking rolling around in money. I'm excited. That's my marketing plan. I'm just going to go and, like, harass JonTron on Twitter. That's my plan.
I don't think it's a sound plan, but it's one you may want to try.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm gonna fucking make a Twitter account at Major Space Laser. I'm just going to harass JonTron.
What, from this perspective and the alter ego of Major Space Laser?
Yeah.
No, the trends of 2014, they've been excessively negative. I mean, the fact we were struggling to find positives says it all, really. In terms of gaming, there's some great stuff that came out, but in terms of the community around gaming, pretty shit.
Yeah, and I also don't think that, like, any of the things that necessarily were good that happened in 2014 were things that started in 2014. Like, the first year that the Wii U was out, it had good games. It had Monster Hunter, it had Pikmin, it had Wind Waker HD. Like, it had
Wonderful 101,
which is fantastic. Like, they had a really solid first-year lineup. Far better first-year lineup than the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. Nintendo kicking ass in their first year was like, or I mean, in last year, was not just a continuation of them kicking ass from first year.
Yeah, as someone who's had the Xbox One for a year, it has effectively become my Sunset Overdrive and D4 machine.
Yeah, those are the only two games I play online. Oh, and Forza Motorsport Horizon, because that's it's actually really good.
See, I'm not a guy who's into races, so that sounds.
It's got a lot of like off-road racing, so it was really neat. I liked it a lot.
I mean, I also do like Dead Rising 3, but you can only play that so many times before it's like, no. I need to move on to something else.
Yeah, and it came out on PC this year. And also, I didn't know if I wanted it, because it really didn't look like it had like the same
flair. It's part of that lovely trend of yours. It's broken. It's very broken on PC.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's so disappointing.
Because it's literally a direct port, so yeah. Modifying the settings would just cause the game to freak out a little.
Frustrating.
I think there is a community fix now, but on a launch initially, it wasn't too pretty, to say the least.
That's disappointing. But, yeah, like, nothing that's good that happened in 2014 were things that that didn't happen the year before. This year was such a transition year because like we're going into this new generation and we just don't have the games that we thought that we were gonna have. Like The Witcher was going to be this year, and then it was gonna be 2014, then it was gonna be next month. Now it's March or May.
Something like that. One of those two. I mean, a lot of games have been
one
pushed.
Of the M months. But like everything got pushed out of 2014, and it was just like, oh well, shit, we just don't have video games this year. Okay.
It's interesting because obviously there are two key months where games come out per year. You've got the March section, which has since grown because of the whole. I don't even know who started the March trend, but it's been growing quite a bit. And then
like year long at this point. There's no like. Groupings of games anymore. Like it's not March and November, it's just all year there's games, because at this point like there's so many games coming out and like the big games don't want to compete against each other, so they'll just move their month. Because like for example, Destiny was going to come out, no one fucking launched in September because of goddamn Destiny, and Destiny wasn't even good. Like it was a huge disappointment, and so like a bunch of games could have just fucking launched and I would have way rather played any of those games than Destiny. But everyone moved out of the way of Destiny in September, and so everyone moved themselves into October, and then the same thing happened with Watch Dogs. People moved out of the way of Watch Dogs, and Watch Dogs was a piece of shit, but people moved into other months because there's too many big games that you don't want to compete against each other.
What do we actually have this month? I think we have Dying Light, which is out soon. But yeah, that's a Warner Brothers published game, which we all know their success, right?
Warner Brothers games are fucking fantastic. The Arkham games.
Shadow
of Mordor. That's like the best game of last year. That was fantastic. Like that's in my top three.
In Europe, at least, for whatever reason, they just don't have any faith in their games, and they're instantly.
Oh, they don't have any faith here either.
They just go on sale so quick. It's like just care just for a second.
With Shadow of Mordor, they wouldn't even show it to people. They like wouldn't send it out for early review because they thought everyone was gonna hate the game. It's fantastic. It's the best game like that. Like it's better combat than Batman, even though it's very similar. And it out Assassin's Creed's Assassin's Creed like in every goddamn way. It's fantastic. It was a wonderful game. But they just didn't have faith in it. And I mean, it even it performed really well. Like it sold really well. Everything went right with that game, but like leading up to release, they had like no faith in the game.
And it seems to be the case of Dying Light here, which is done by Techland, the guys who did the first Dead Island. And I've not heard anything about it. Like I saw maybe one or two adverts on Twitch, and ever since then, it's just piped down. And it's out next week, but it's out the same day as Grim Fandango Remastered.
Yeah, I don't know if people really care about Grim Death Fandango Remastered that much.
But yeah, I mean, this month we've got the Resident Evil HD remaster and Saints Row.
Gato to Hell.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap this up. Unless
Sure
you have
thing.
anything else that you want to say.
No, I mean, 2015 is looking bright because we've all got the 2014 games coming out, hopefully.
Yeah,
So,
Witcher 3 comes out this year. It has to. It
and
just has to make it out.
Witcher 2 is free right now on the Xbox 360 if you have gold.
Yeah, I heard that.
So if there's ever the opportunity to try out the series, it's
I'm so
free.
excited for Witcher 3. It's like my game of the year for this year. Like, it's the one that I want so bad, and I just hope that I just hope I don't get hit with a disappointment like other people did with Destiny, because I never was like on board with Destiny. I just hope that doesn't happen to me this year. But the last two games were fantastic, so I have complete faith.
Well, the fact they delayed it just so they can improve it from
Yeah.
their own perspective, it says a lot about the company itself, more so than what happened with Destiny and others.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's hope Witcher 3 is great, and any other game you listeners are hoping coming out this year will be good. I mean, there's Metal Gear 5, which looks great, but I'm a Metal Gear fan, so what do you expect? And there's a few others, but there's too many to list right now.
All right. So let's wrap this up. All right. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching the 78th episode of the Dapper Gaming Podcast. I've been Ryan. He's been Terry. And
I have indeed.
we'll see you guys. I'm not gonna say next week, but whenever we do a podcast again.
We'll be like the GTA 5 heists. We'll be out at some point.
We're not going to be like the GTA 5 online heists, because those came out like last month.
They're actually out.
Yeah, they're out now.
They're actually out.
They're out now.
Oh my word.
They are out, but we're not going to be like them because they came out a year late.
Yeah, you'll be hearing this in 2016.
Yeah, episode
We'll be, we'll.
78, 2016.
Oh, but yes, we'll be seeing you eventually in the future. Well, maybe not me, maybe Badman or someone else.
Yeah, eventually. All right. Thank you, and good night.